Tú mostras gracia, tú mostras vida.
Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Tomorrow night, Milwaukee audiences have the rare opportunity to hear a musician performing in a language that is considered endangered. But it didn't used to be that way.
Before 1492, Ladino was the language everyone spoke in Spain, but it left when the Jews were expelled from the country. Sara Arroeste is a contemporary Ladino singer, and she's working to ensure that not only is Ladino preserved, but that it's updated. She'll perform tomorrow night and Thursday morning at Latino Arts Center, but she joined us first via Skype and explained that even though the language is endangered, she's hopeful.
There are pockets of communities around the world that still speak it. The truth is that no one will ever be born speaking it again as a first language. That's really the distinction. But plenty of people do still have a connection to it and do still speak it, but no one will be born speaking it again.
Oh, that's sad.
It's tragic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes my job difficult because most people have never even heard of Ladino. And the historical truth is that it was a language spoken by thousands and thousands and thousands of people for centuries, primarily throughout the Mediterranean. And it's, you know, it's devastating to know that a language so rich with history and culture is fading.
When you listen to it, you can hear the Spanish, obviously. There's some words that are absolutely the same, like esperanza and oro and things like that. What was the other language that kind of melded with it to make it Ladino?
Great question. Well, there are a lot of languages, actually. So Ladino at its core, you're right, is Spanish, but it's 15th century Castilian Spanish. So before 1492, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and more, we were all living fairly peacefully together in the Iberian Peninsula. And then around 1492, when groups who did not want to convert to Catholicism were kicked out, they left and carried with them the Spanish that everyone was speaking at the time. Jews in particular didn't know that they wouldn't be returning to Spain. So they took that Spanish and it was basically ossified as that old Spanish. And they didn't have access to how Spanish developed into the vernacular today. So they took that 15th century dialect of Spanish and combined it with bits and pieces of languages from the countries where they ended up settling. The primary migration was towards the Middle East, towards the Ottoman Empire. So think about all the countries you would encounter from Spain, let's say, all the way to Greece. So along the way, they picked up bits of French, Italian, Arabic, Greek, Turkish, Hebrew, and more. It really is a pan-Mediterranean hybrid language. It's just a cultural treasure. It's so beautiful on the tongue because it really combines some of the best components of all these beautiful languages.
One of the things I find interesting is I think of it as a Jewish language in particular. After the expulsion, as you say, you know, they took it to different parts of the Mediterranean where they were welcome. But it's different than, say, Yiddish, which is a combination of Hebrew and German. So it started out as its own, very own thing.
You're right. You know, Yiddish really is a combination of German and Hebrew, where Ladino isn't exactly that same equivalency. It does have other components. It is known in some parts of the world as Judeo-Espanol or Judeo-Spanish. So one can think of it like Jewish Spanish with other elements as well. And the Hebrew was very, very important. There are a lot of elements of Hebrew that have influenced the language. A lot of the Hebrew, though, was really kept to the liturgical Ladino and the synagogal language that you would see in the prayer books. But everyday spoken Ladino, it did have Hebrew, but it also had all of these other elements combined. And, you know, it's sort of like dialects even within, you know, within America, whether you're from Tennessee or you're from Maine, you know, your dialect or your accent of how you speak English would be slightly different. It's the same thing in Ladino. If you ended up in Greece versus if you ended up in Turkey, you would have certain words that were distinctly regional for Turkey or for Greece.
Now, your family is Greek and Macedonian. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So you have the Balkan as well as the Ottoman Empire influence. in the language that you speak.
Indeed. Yeah, my grandfather, Ladino was his first language. He was born in a town called Monastir, which today would be within the borders of Macedonia. But at the time, it was the Ottoman Empire. And although his extended family was really from Greece, he always called himself a Turk, as was common in that time. You know, it was really part of the Turkish Empire. And so we had a lot of different languages. He actually went to a French school. It really is this amalgam of all these different cultures. And it's one of the reasons why I fell in love with it.
I was going to say, is it because of your grandfather that you were exposed to it, and that's what you decided you wanted to do, how you wanted to sing?
Yeah, I was always very influenced by my grandfather. He was really the patriarch of our family. But I have a story that's not particularly unique to me, in that it's a pretty typical immigrant story, which is to say that my grandfather and his family came to America escaping war. In his case, it was actually the Balkan Wars. They really wanted to leave the old country behind and become American. So sadly, a lot of the cultures were not passed down to my mother's generation, including the language. So I had a lot of awareness growing up that I came from this very proud Sephardic family. It was evidenced through the foods we ate, through the melodies of the songs that we sang, and certainly Ladino was a part of that. But it wasn't a part of our everyday existence. And every time I asked older relatives to tell me more about Greece or about Macedonia or about Ladino, they either didn't want to share the information with me, or they had lost it and they just didn't have answers for me. And I was really frustrated as a kid, because I just remember loving this culture so much and wanting to know more, but not having access to the resources. And that really inspired me to create those resources for my own peers, because I didn't want the culture to fade out with my generation. So I felt really compelled to honor my grandfather and all of my relatives who came before him to make sure that this culture lived on.
Well, and what you've done musically is so interesting, because you've taken your writing and singing in this wonderful, and it is a very melodic language, because, you know, Spanish is very, it just rolls off the tongue in a lot of ways, but you've melded it with a lot of very modern, you know, jazz influences. And then we were talking before we actually started the recording, where it was like there's house and there's like, you know, techno and there's all this other stuff. And then there's also things that sound like you would have heard them 300 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, my influences are very wide. I've never shied away from the fact that I'm also a woman born in America. I can't hide the fact that I wasn't born in Macedonia myself. So I'm very influenced by rock and pop, as a young woman having grown up in America. But I'm very, very inspired by historical memory and my own family story. So I try to meld in my deep, deep respect and honor for my Sephardic culture with some of these other musical influences that I grew up with. You know, I had to really fight to win over some of the purists in the field, because when I started off, there really weren't that many people doing contemporary Ladino music, because, you know, preservation is a really tricky concept, especially with a culture and a language that is so endangered. It's so critical that we preserve the culture that already exists and make sure that stays intact. But as much as I respect that viewpoint, I firmly believe that preservation also means that we need to be creating new material in this culture to help it live even longer. So a lot of the work that I do is not only writing my own material, which is quite rare in this language, but I also reinterpret some of the traditional repertoire to fit more of my own worldview today. For example, on my album, Gracia, there is a wonderful song about a tiff between a mother and a daughter. And for many years, centuries, shall I say, this song in every recording that I'd ever heard of it was really from the mother's standpoint of a mother warning her child to be careful about the men that she encounters and that she should stay as pure as possible for as long as possible. And in my reinterpretation of this song, I did it from the daughter's point of view because that's the experience that I know. And I gave it really a whole new interpretation using hip hop and spoken word and really about young women taking control of their lives and of their bodies. And it's just a new way of looking at that song. And so that's what I do with a lot of the traditional repertoire, which is that I give it a contemporary spin based on my modern worldview.
I am you, you are me, we are fire.
When you come to places like Milwaukee, which you are doing to perform here, what is the response that people have to the music and to the language? Do you find that it's mostly Jews who are interested, or do you find that everybody just kind of goes, wow, I had no idea?
I really think, or at least I hope, it's the latter. One of the things among many that I love about Ladino is how universal it is. And I've been very careful in my career, which now spans almost 20 years, to be as inclusive as possible. And I really have stuck to a very secular repertoire. I'm interested in the folk tradition, not so much the religious aspect of it. So I really pick songs and I write songs that I think everybody can relate to. So in my audiences, yes, I'd say that primarily Jewish people would come first because they are the most likely to have heard of Ladino, but I do a lot of work with Hispanic and Latino communities. And so I find that a lot of people are just fascinated by the connection to Spanish and to Spain and to world culture. So I do a lot of work in world music communities. And the response, you know, after 20 years, I'm still out there performing, so it must be positive.
Yeah, you've done lots of different albums, including a recent one for children.
I have, and that's so dear to my heart right now. It just came out this year, and it is the first ever Ladino children's album, and I'm so proud of that fact. It was written truly as a labor of love. I wrote it while pregnant with my first daughter, and I recorded it while pregnant with my second daughter. So it really spans this experience of new parenthood for me and is directly inspired by my children. I wanted to make sure that Ladino will still exist when my daughters grow up. So I wanted to make an album that could be as easy and fun as possible for families and educational institutions to be able to learn Ladino together. So all of the songs are really repeatable and catchy and fun and just talk about basic experiences like brushing your teeth in the morning, different meal times of the day, different family members' names, things like that. And I love the album and I hope that it will leave an imprint on the Ladino cultural landscape.
Well, Sarah, we are so looking forward to having you here in Milwaukee. Thank you so much for taking some time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Latino singer and composer Sara Erroeste performs tomorrow evening and Thursday morning at the Latino Arts Center on Milwaukee's Near South Side. There's more information at WUWM.com, and the song we're hearing is from her children's album, a song called Oro de Despertar.